I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Oh, count me down.
Oh, my God.
Listen, we're no vet this, of course, but...
Yeah, they had a sound man, a sound engineer.
Well, what are you guys doing? Where's our sound man?
It's me! But, you know, I can only work with what I got here.
Hey, by the way, not for nothing.
Yeah.
We're about to have a sound man.
Like, well, coincidentally.
No, wait. This is whatever. My point is, we have 6 partners now.
Oh, here
three.
We go.
No. Yeah. Wait a second. One of them legitimately has produced podcasts, and they said to me, Omar, we want to do like a thing with you. That's actually part of the brand. So we're going to have a sound man that we can use for this.
Listen to me. A sound man is not going to mean shit if you two jamokes keep having problems with your internets and your microphones.
Is that fucking anti-Semitic?
No, that wasn't anti-Semitic.
Not? Sound fucking pretty anti-Semitic to me.
No. You two guys, I mean, it's like...
two guys?
I sound...
A mic and Wi-Fi. It's not asking too much.
This is how the Beatles broke up.
But we're recording now, right?
We're recording, but we're going to start now.
David, I'm going to count you down.
I'm counting him down. It's my job.
All right.
How about you say 3, I say 2.
No.
Oh, okay.
I have to count him down because I have to mark it on the thing, which you don't know about because you don't know all the behind-the-scenes shit I do.
Oh, it sounds
but I have
so
to mark it. You're trying to steal my countdown. All right, here we go. I can't work.
Oh, what episode are we on?
87.
Are you sure?
Oh, amateurs. 87
is this is like a rom-com where Josh just met another lover or
agreed.
Another couple.
Another lover. Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's a metaphor, Josh. And
it is a metaphor.
He comes home, he wants to rekindle the fire with us, David. And he realizes it's fucking gone.
Yeah, right. He's coming home to his wife to rekindle. She's like in the kitchen. It's dirty and she's doesn't look her best.
She's
you know what it
him.
Is?
Yeah, it's, she's yelling at him.
I came home and the two of you are passed out on the couch with cigarette butts hanging out of your lips.
That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
In underwear and Cheeto stains all over the couch in your shirt. That's what it's more like.
That's us.
Yeah, that's you two. That's what I come home to. All right, we ready? Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh, my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Omar the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop.
Hello everyone and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. I'm your host Dave, ready to bring you the world's number one, arguably the number one podcast in the world, really.
No. It was under the most unnecessary podcast category. I don't know how you mix those things up.
It's a little dicey on my note cards here, exactly what it says. I'm
tomato, tomato.
The world's number one podcast, Friends Talking Shop. If you're listening, you shouldn't feel like you're weird. Yeah, everyone else is listening along with you, so that's great. We're on episode 87, and we're going to make this as good of a podcast as we can.
We're going to try.
We're having some audio difficulties, and it's my fault, and I'm sorry. But what I'm not sorry about are my two hosts, who are still my hosts for now. Josh is with me. Josh, how you doing?
I am doing all right. The lipoma is healing up nicely. We're getting better weather, which is always nice too. So I'm in a much better mood. I did a nice little house cleaning outside today. Power washed the front, so it's all going well. I will tell you this though. If someone says to me one more time, if I hear it one more time, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You guys hear that, right?
Yeah.
Right. But that's a very common thing. But no one ever says, no one ever breaks. That's not true. It's not true. If you don't take them, you don't miss them. You can only miss a shot that you take, and you can only make a shot that you take. So you're not missing 100% of the shots you don't. If I'm in a basketball game and you pass me the ball and I have an open shot, but I pass it off, did I miss that shot I didn't take?
Wait a minute. How does the expression right. go? Are you sure you got that expression right?
Yes. Yeah. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. It's basically, it's one of those hang in there cat posters.
What's your problem with that again?
It's wrong. It's a wrong phrase. It doesn't make sense. It is wrong.
Yes.
No,
100% right.
It's not. If the shots you don't take don't count as misses. Imagine that. Imagine on NBA, if you have an open jumper and you don't take it and they count it as a miss. That's what that phrase is saying.
It's a metaphor, Josh. It's a metaphor on life.
I get it, but it's not accurate.
I'm not quite sure, Dave, if he does get it.
It's not accurate.
Josh, are you like literal, man? Is that one of your new things now? You think anything literally?
I am not literal, man. I just went a little bit accuracy. All right. People have been saying it for so long and no one's ever corrected it.
Then you're never going to be able to do it.
Ah, that might be a better phrase. You have to massage it a little bit, but that's more accurate.
That sounds like me on a first date.
That's all I want is accuracy.
Are you power washing and someone came up to you and said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take as your
no, they said you don't clean 100% of the houses you don't power wash.
Yes, that's a much better. Okay.
And I went, you know what? That actually works. That's pretty accurate.
You like that one? Yeah,
I do like that one. That one it's not going to sell well on inspirational poster, but it's more accurate than the stupid shots you don't take crap. Anyway, I just had to get off my chest because I've heard it so many times and it's just not accurate and it drives me nuts.
Well, speaking of hockey sayings, what about the I got to go where the puck is going? Do you like that one?
I like that one because that makes sense. You don't go where the puck is. You go to where it's going.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Aren't both of those attributed to Wayne Gretzky? I felt like
I don't know if the shot one is attributed to Wayne Gretzky because that tends to be more with a basketball theme.
I think it can go for hockey, too. I'm looking up online because I wanted to make sure. And it said there's a Reddit entry. Did Wayne Gretzky actually say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take? So,
At
least Reddit's, on Reddit.
So someone asked the question on Reddit, and you're taking that as it's probably Wayne Gretzky.
That's as good enough for me. It's on my computer screen. It must be true.
That's good research, Dave. Yeah. Excellent work. Yes.
Just off the top of my head. So, I'm glad you're in your regular form after mishap here.
Yes.
My other host, as usual, is Omar. Omar, how you doing? Where are you now? Where in the world is Omar?
I'm in Maryland. There's so many things I want to talk about on this recording. Mm. So I'm not really – I don't have that small talk with you, David, about how I'm doing. I know you don't care. So let me just talk about a few things. So I –
Wait a second. You're just going to hijack this segment to just get out a couple rapid fire topics that you want to cover. Is that what you're doing? You have to at least pretend that it flows from how you're doing. At least pretend for the audience.
We have a system. Yeah.
You've just given up.
What makes you think this isn't in a flow?
Go ahead. Because you said you don't care. You just said I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to talk about things. You basically said, thanks, Dave. I'm just going to talk about some stuff now.
Oh.
That's all right. It's okay.
I see how that came across.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it wasn't. Yeah.
Go ahead. Just talk about stuff. It's too late.
I got over my skis there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The train is left.
So, yeah. That thing came out the right way. Again, that's me and I won't go there.
No.
But I will say this. So I'm with my father and my sister that my dad's here. So he, as Josh knows, he just vomited.
Yes, I heard that in the pre-warm-up. Yeah. Yes, and, in the background.
And I think it's because my dad has a bit of a thing where he has a real problem throwing away food.
Oh, jeez.
It's in the fridge. And my sister's like, you got to get rid of this X dish or Y dish or Z dish. And if she ever throws anything away, she literally has to ask him first, or he has a bit of a problem with it. So I think he consumed something today.
And, oh, geez. That was way past due? So wouldn't that be a life lesson? Wouldn't that say to him, you know what? I'm going to start throwing food out because I don't, because quite just, honestly, unless he enjoys vomiting.
But don't you guys have like either your parents or your grandparents, like my dad grew up very poor.
Okay.
Right. So it's like, he doesn't want to throw anything away or that's, he doesn't pay someone anything. Mm. And so it's like, it's this crazy thing. Like it's still with him, even though obviously his children, and him and his my mom had done well
in the country. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts.
All right. But you would think, I understand that in a general sense, but once you start vomiting from not throwing stuff out, I think you might change your tune.
No.
No, okay.
All right. By the way, I got Teach food poisoning 2 weeks ago. Projectile vomit out the car.
Out the car?
Mm-hmm.
Who was driving?
On the way, my nephew.
Did you stop the car at least, or was it
eventually, Yeah, but I did it twice. We did it once at a stop sign or at a stoplight. I did it twice that time. And then he had his car going, and then I had him pull over, and he pulled over, opened the door, and before he stopped, just
did all of it get out of the car, or was anything land in the car?
No, some of it stayed in the car. And my nephew, I gotta tell you, he cleaned it up.
Did he?
He what?
He cleaned it up.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's like next level. Yeah, you know what? I'm just realizing this right now. That's kind of like next level. Stuff, right?
Yeah.
I was having serious like stomach cramps.
So he was a good kid. Question. Or he cares a lot about his car, one or the other.
Well, it was my car.
Oh, it was your car. Wow.
The craziest thing about this whole process is I had food poisoning too, independent of this. I ChatGPT'd it. So I wanted to understand the pain of that I was going through, and I wanted a comp, right? So of course I think about women with their menstrual cramps. Right. And I said, how does this pain compare to women's cramps? And they said that women's are 10 times fucking worse.
This is what ChatGPT told you. You said you compared PMS.
I have an OA in my tummy.
You compared PMS to food poisoning.
Guys, I had to catch my flight.
Food poisoning's terrible. I've had food poisoning several times. It's awful. I can't imagine having that once a month, which is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's not even that. It's once a month as much as just the actual pain itself is actually like worse. It says.
You have it.
If food poisoning cramps are a gut tornado, period cramps are more like a simmering lava field, slow, sustained, but brutal. The reason why women are okay with it is because the society has been as sort of like, you know,
now you're not reading anymore. Now it seems like you're ad-libbing.
Oh, sorry. A woman who's had severe period cramps might describe your current pain as familiar, but with the added joy of nausea and a ticking time bomb for either end to go off. The brutal reality, a lot of women experience both at once, a true test. So in other words, if men had periods, the world would probably shut down for a week every month.
Yeah, listen. I don't buy that. I get the fact that
I think our pain threshold is way lower than
I agree with that. But if you have to go through it, like if it's part of nature, you learn to Yeah, you learn to cope with it.
Yeah.
Someone said a comedian said, like, imagine if every month you didn't know when it was kind of around the same time you opened your doorbell rang, you opened the door and someone kicked you square in the nuts and then said, see you later. See you next month. And then went away.
No, but
I'd be like, oh my God.
But that doesn't lessen it. Right. It says,
no, that's what I'm saying. But you would eventually
decades of silent resilience training that society kind of expects, but rarely applauds. I think we should create a menstrual award
for
women. This is a great idea.
That sounds so condescending.
There's so many ideas for a name for the award.
The menstrual award?
Yeah.
Given by FTS, Friends Talking Shop?
There's something to this. We should explore it. Anyway, that's how I'm doing. So this is
okay. Obviously I can hear our listeners just dropping like flies. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing fine until I got on the phone with you guys and got yelled at because of my internet. I'm up in Wisconsin again. Well, it felt like it. One thing I did do this time on my trip, every time I drive to Wisconsin, it's a 6-hour drive, and I have a different mix of podcasts or music. I try and mix it up. What I did this time is I had a conversation with ChatGPT. Have you done the conversation mode where you just put it into speaker?
Uh-uh.
Yeah,
there's while you're on by mistake, but oh, this is cool.
Wait. So while you're driving,
yep,
you had ChatGPT going and you're just talking to it and it was talking back.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a version where you can like do voice to text and then hit go and it'll answer. It's not that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a conversation like button where you can say, Chat, how you doing? And he's fine. And then I did a couple of things. One is I had a project I'm working on at work that I didn't kind of say any specifics, but I had it go fairly deep into the things that were.
Guys, for the record, it's a little testy right now because that project is how to get rid of Josh.
So I don't want to say what it is. I mean, I have talked about, I'm on a podcast with them, and it, like, you know, it's, I've never gone through this kind of a scenario before. But I went to a very technical conversation, and it went as deep as you can imagine. Like, I have now two policies that it's written for me that I did through a conversation with Chat. Then amazing. I said, knowing me who I am, tell me something I should know that I don't. And then it picked topics that I thought I should know based on all of my entries. I did that.
Was it accurate? Was it accurate?
Well, it
was it accurate? Were you interested in what it said?
No, not really. It said, let's talk about psychological investing. That was the topic it had.
Oh, well, that's probably from your life coach that you pay.
Yeah. David, if you've spent like hours on your account just typing about stuff, and then you talk to the AI, it incorporates that too.
It knows me.
It learns. For sure. It learns about you.
If I say, who am I and what am I like? It will.
How much you pay? How much you pay a month for yours?
$20.
Oh, I pay two. I have the whatever version. So everybody uses it. I literally sent my login to people to use to learn about.
Can you send it to me? I'd like to use it.
Yeah. I'd like to. Yeah. $200 you spend a month? Although I think it's worth every penny.
I'll send it to you. I will.
Yeah, send it to me. I'm dead serious. Yeah.
Let's put it on put it on Instagram, Josh.
Done.
No, don't do that.
All our listeners can use
Dave, so go on with this some more. So you did it and anything like, but it was all work. Was it all work related? Or were you talking about like, you know, about like Giannis and whether they're going to trade him or whatever?
You know, I did it. It was just toward the tail end of my trip. But yeah, I was thinking of asking, you know, like, hey, Friday, I was feeling blue, you know, like, what should I do? And like, I thought of asking it more personal questions because a lot of people are using it for that purpose.
Yes, I know. It's crazy. It's great. So how long did you talk to it for?
About a half hour.
Half an hour?
Yeah. Yep.
Is there are there delays when you talk to her, or does it talk right back as if it's sitting next to you, if it's a person sitting next to you?
I mean, it's probably like this conversation here where there's like a second lag, but you can interrupt it too, and it'll stop, and you can, you know, if it starts going on the path. It's incredible. You should all try it. It's your best friend. It's your smartest best friend. It's just waiting for you for $20 a month. And
That's pretty cool. I mean,
it's pretty amazing to think about. It basically is the smartest person in the world. Is I can have a conversation.
Yeah, pretty much.
What should I ask it? You know, and
yeah,
I start with everything. Work. It does. It knows everything. So,
all right, I'll have to try that. That's pretty cool. All right,
let's kick this off. First, before we get started, I should explain what we do in case you haven't listened to us before. The three of us come together. We're typical complainers and observers of life, we usually come together with things that we've complained or observed during the week or month since we last talked. And we talk about it, and we don't know what we're going to talk about ahead of time. These are all topics coming off the top of our heads that we're surprising each other with, and we'll talk about each one. But before we do, I'd like to tell you about our email address. You can email us. We're at friends@fts.media. Friends, plural, at fts.media is an email address, and it works. We're on in the internet, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com, and you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Friends Talking Shop. Just if you use Friends Talking Shop, we'll find us out there somewhere. So
yeah.
Now, Dave, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I didn't tell you guys in pre when we were talking before we started because I wanted it to be a surprise because I want to see your heads explode.
Oh,
first guess, did we get emails?
I'm going to say yes.
Well,
We did indeed. Now, we have multiple emails.
How many are family members?
One. But we got three emails this week. Three
Fantastic.
Emails. Isn't that crazy?
Sales, blind sales calls, anything?
Well, these one is from a Nigerian prince that apparently, if we just wire him a little bit of money, we could, you know, turn that into 10x.
We
have three emails, three legitimate emails. So I don't know how you want to handle those. If you want to run through those or we want to get them at the end, but three emails. So we applaud our listeners. Thank you so much. Keep sending them in.
Since you took such a hard right on my intro, why don't we read those emails now?
Let's do it. I'm going to do them quickly because there's three of them. First is from a Dustin B. He is a fantastic listener and hits us up on our social media every once in a while. But he writes, he has a Doritos idea. So if you remember last episode, Dave, you were talking about how you knew someone who is in charge of doing the Super Bowl commercial for Doritos. And we were going to send them our own ideas. And then we asked our listeners, hey, do you have any ideas yourselves? So he wrote one too. And Dustin B. writes, opens on a group of kids battle rapping on a basketball court. One kid is good. The other kid sucks. Kid two cracks a bag of Doritos Flaming Hot and eats a few, then gets the mic back from kid one and decimates him. Cut to scene three. Marquee outside on arena says sold out. Lil, as in the guy's name, Little Rito's Spittin' Fire Tour. Cut inside, and Little Rito, who's the rap, is rapping on stage to thousands of adoring fans, close on his gold grill, and they're all little Doritos. And he says, you're welcome, boys. Not bad, Dustin. Pretty good, right? Do we like that one?
Omar, what do you think?
What do you think about Dustin's Doritos ad?
I like the name, Little Rito.
Yeah, Little Rito. I think it's pretty clever. I think it's pretty good. So maybe we add that into what we we send to the send this person.
How many? You think three is too many ideas? Does it get watered down? Does my
I don't think so.
Get watered down with three or two others?
I don't think so. I think mine will still stand out amongst the two of you. But yes, I think three is appropriate. I think they'll be happy to look. That's what they do, right? They sit in a room and they spitball and they do hundreds of ideas until something sticks and hits.
I'm sure they appreciate amateurs sending them ideas, thinking they can do their jobs.
Of course, right? Of course.
Everyone loves that. Yeah.
So here's our second one. Our second one, this might give it away who's it's from, but it says, Dear Josh, parentheses dad, Dave and Omar. So this might be a family member. She says, and this is from Gabrielle K. Gabrielle K. Mm. And you can figure out the K now. Since you guys are practically begging for people to email you, I figured I would bite the bullet and do it myself. For one, wiping your hands after eating ribs on the white sheets in a hotel room is disgusting. She's referring to when I was talking about that I was in a... Elmar, could you get on camera, please? That would be great for our YouTube watchers. Yeah.
Sorry,
otherwise,
I'm listening. You know, to this because she understands
it's so
you
hard to wrangle
more than
him
anybody.
Just for an hour.
It's
just,
very difficult and in the middle of an email nonetheless. So if you remember, I talked about how I treat my towels and sheets and hotel room like it's
at hotel rooms. She says not at home.
At a hotel room. Yeah. She says point blank, do you sleep in those same sheets after? Well, no, of course I don't. I will only do that if I have two queen beds and then, you know, I'll eat in one bed and sleep in the other one. Okay. She says, do you order ribs, eat in bed, wipe your hands, and then check out at 11 in the morning? Yep, basically yes. I have many questions. Second, I am very glad at the ripe age of 50, that my father is unaware of my exact age and had to stutter for a second trying to remember.
You knew you were in trouble.
That happened in the last episode. Yeah, I knew I was in trouble. As it was happening, I knew I was in trouble. I would like to confirm that I'm 22 years old, turning 23 later this year. Third, enough shitting on my father. Let's move on to the fasting. Dave, you talked about the 72-hour fast. Yep. She says, this is a very bad idea. I highly recommend not fasting for 3 days straight and instead do a 24-hour juice cleanse or something of that sort. I think it's a health fraud and promotes unhealthy eating habits. But hey, what do I know? Anywho, I think both of the Dorito commercial are great ideas, yours and mine, Dave. But I agree with Dave that you guys should think of one golden pitch and wait to send until you are certain you can't think
did
of anything
better.
Did she type
the words anywho?
She did, actually. I'm reading it. I'm not paraphrasing someone's email. She spelled it A-N-Y-W-H-O. Which I don't know if there's a proper spelling for anywho, but
that's not how you spell it.
I think it would be H O.
I don't think it's a word. It might be H O O. She did this way. Yeah. Last but not least, I've been asking my dad to be a guest on FTS for ages, and he always says no. So maybe Dave and Omar will be more receptive to the idea. I think a younger voice could be very beneficial, and I can also be there to call my dad out on his bluff. Could be fun. Let me know what you think. Avid FTS listener, Gabrielle K. She wants to be a guest. I don't know what to say about that.
Here's the thing, and Omar knows this. We've been wanting to have Gabrielle on for a long time, and Josh is like, no, I don't want any of my family on.
Boy, you are gaslighting me. You're throwing me under the bus. That is not true. That's not true.
Am I telling the truth or not? You said she's not funny. I don't know what. No,
oh, stop. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's already pissed at me about I got her age wrong. Now she's going to think that this is true.
My kids get mad at me all the time. I'm just.
Let me go on to our third email. It's nice. Listen, when it rains, it pours. This is amazing to have three emails. Absolutely amazing. This is from Justin B. He's an avid listener too.
Bieber.
Nope, not Justin Bieber. Justin B. I'm not saying his full name for just conceal his identity. He says it's been a while. Here are his ramblings. Oh, interesting. So I think he's read a bunch of things. Dave, he said, both ideas are great submissions. Go for it. Nothing to lose. So they're talking about Doritos again, the Doritos commercials.
All right.
I do have to mention that as a Philly sports fan, I take offense to you and Omar constantly stating how poor, unruly, rude all Philly fans are when you seem to be basing this off of the national media take, which still brings up the snowballs at Santa Claus every chance they get. So he's talking about a very famous Phillies game where Phillies fans threw snowballs at Santa Claus. I don't see any problems with that. I don't know what everyone's all upset about. So that's what he's saying. He said, this is laziness on both your parts. I can make many assumptions about the Midwest fan base and how they appear to be idiots when you hear the accents and that no one wants to travel to Baltimore for anything, let alone football. But I try not to generalize like that. I suggest meeting more than one fan, aka Josh, to base your opinion on us. Wow. Interesting. So that came across aggressive. Any comment to that before I read his second paragraph here?
Look, I think that the I think a good litmus test for sports fans is if you wear an opposing team's jersey in their stadium, could you end up going to the hospital?
It's a good test. Yeah.
Here's another test.
Fair. Yeah, it's a fair.
Is there
it's
a
fair.
Courthouse in the basement of the stadium?
Used to be in Philadelphia. Not anymore. We don't have that courthouse.
You know anymore. What's in the basement of Lambeau Field?
A basement? The Alamo?
A church. A monastery. That's where God's people live. Very different.
All right, Justin goes on. He says, Josh, you can't use a towel twice in a hotel? Flat out weird. What is your thought process here? This is referring to the fact that I have a habit of stealing towels off the maid's cart every time I pass them. He goes on to say, it was a clean towel. You used it. Most hotels have a shower door or rod to hang your towel to dry or even a hook. Seeing that you travel more than most, I find it hard to believe you go to hotels without one of these options to hang your towel. Do you only use your towel once at home and then wash it? Why at a hotel then? Flat out odd. Okay, so look, let me address this first before I go on. Number one, I will use the hotel towel more than once. I'm not against that, and I do hang it on the hook that they provide. All I'm saying is, if I happen to be passing the maid's cart in the hallway, I just have this weird habit, like it's a game. I steal towels. I don't take them home. I steal them from my hotel room, so the hotel gets them back. But I don't ask for more towels. If I never see a maid's cart, I will reuse the towels that they provided me in the beginning. Does that make sense?
You call it a game?
Well, it's kind of like it's a rush. You know, some people like to like to shoplift. I like to take towels off maid's carts. That's all.
Riskless shoplifting experience.
It's like the most risky thing a risk-averse person could do.
It's interesting because like you're comfortable like wiping your hands on sheets, which you've slept in. So sheets aren't necessarily clean.
I'm not sleeping in the sheets that I wipe my hands.
But my point is that you're wiping your hands on the sheets.
That's right.
So your hands actually clean after you do that?
Well, no. Then I will go and wash them. But I'm saying while I'm eating.
I see.
To while I'm eating in bed. And by the way, I'm not aggressive about it. It's a little bit of hyperbole.
So when you're eating with in bed, do you brush your teeth before you go to bed?
Of course, always, every night. Floss and brush. Every night.
Floss? Do you have any cavities, Josh?
Floss and brush, yeah.
Any cavities, Josh?
I've had one cavity my whole life. Wow. Yes, yeah, every night. Oh. You don't floss and brush your teeth every night before you go to bed?
Not floss.
Wow.
Water pick and brush.
Okay, water pick's the same as floss. That's legit.
So my brother-in-law.
Dave, how often do you floss? Is that a never?
No, that's not never. After I eat ribs or beef jerky, I do. But, you know, on a daily basis, that's really hard to do.
Every day.
I'm busy. It's lots going on.
It takes 30 seconds. It's part of your bedtime routine.
If you water pick, it's pretty fantastic. And it's a lot more it's enjoyable.
The problem with water pick is you can't take it with you. Like,
yes,
flush.
You can. No,
you take what Walmart does.
That's crazy. Come on.
No, they make portable water picks. They're
I'm sure
incredible.
They do, but it's a bit much.
No, it's not. I take it to dinner with me.
You water pick at the dinner table?
You guys, when I'm with you guys, if you ask me, I will have a water pick in my bag.
Okay. I'm gonna take you up on that challenge. And number one,
I always do. They're small. They're a size of a
hold phone. On. You take it to dinner. When are you doing it at dinner? You go to the
after I eat.
And you go to the bathroom and water pick.
Yeah, I have a water pick and I have a toothbrush.
I don't believe it.
Get the hell out of here. You're like a mental patient. That's what a homeless guy does in a bathroom.
Have you guys ever seen me without my man purse?
No, you always have a purse. Always have a purse.
Have you ever asked me what's in the man purse before?
I'm assuming it's Tampax and gum.
Yeah. No, that was another version of me, perhaps.
Yeah.
By the way, I would argue this is the male equivalent.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Let me keep going with Justin here. Dave, right. Do you have something to add? No?
I'm speechless by the water pick at restaurants.
Why, yeah, that's crazy.
That's over the top.
We're going to have to take
it. Water pick in the men's room.
No, can't wait to get home later?
We get it.
No, because if I'm going out for drinks, I don't like to have the food and have taste in my mouth afterwards. I want it done with.
Oh, my God. All right. Justin goes on. You really need to learn to relax talking to me. You have no valuables except your wallet when you travel. And by the way, I don't even carry a wallet. No cleaner is taking an iPad. That's just absurd. My God, man, you are a hot mess. Okay, so I accept that, Justin. Maybe that is true. There is a little bit of paranoia. But I just don't want to – look, I don't think they're going to take my iPad. What I don't want to do is put it away. I don't want to put it away each time I leave the hotel room so when the maid comes in, they aren't tempted to take it. I mean, they probably won't, not 95% of the time. But I just want to just leave it plugged in, leave it charged, and put the do not disturb sign because I don't care to have them in my room. Anyway, he goes on. Omar states, quote, I have a high bar for comedy, then proceeds to laugh at all his own bad jokes. He also tends to state he is listening. Listen to this part, Omar. I want you to hear what listener says here because this is you're not listening to us say it. He goes on to say he also tends to state he is listening when the others call him out that he isn't paying attention. You aren't fooling anyone, buddy. I also get the feeling you, Omar, don't have your topic until 2 seconds before it's your turn to bring it up. It's pretty funny how you form your topic within seconds. Another thing I noticed, you seem to tell – boy, he's going to town on you, Omar. You seem to tell a story and exaggerate what you said to someone to make yourself look important or tough. Then when questioned by Dave or Josh, you backtrack and said, well, this is how I really said it. Lastly, how many monks do you know that you can state that they are judgy, which you did state last episode. You said you didn't like monks and you thought they were judgy.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, Justin knows monks and he's not happy about it because he says, being a monk is about personal reflection, not outward reflection on others. I am not even sure you know why people become monks. Great topics, and I enjoy the show, Justin. That is, I mean, what a roller coaster ride Justin took us on with that email. Well, fantastic.
Look,
fantastic.
Absolutely great. Fantastic. The monks thing was said. That's why I said it, because it's so ridiculous. I was kidding. Clearly, yeah. I was kidding.
Well, you're, way. Yeah, that's. But you know, Justin took you to task for a couple things. I think the main thing you should take away from it is the not paying attention to your co-host.
I was literally telling my father earlier today how I thought one of the most selfish people in the history of the world was Mother Teresa. Same kind of thing.
Oh my God!
Don't put that on Instagram, Josh.
Yeah, we're gonna let that go. That,
wait a second. Wait a second. If I don't do it.
If no, don't. I may, you may
Justin,
not.
Wait a second.
Go ahead.
The act of doing like the act of unconditional generosity, right?
Yes,
is in some ways a selfish act because it feels so good.
But you're assuming that that's the reason they're doing it.
What?
You're assuming that they're doing it for their own gratification.
It is being said with just a different perspective on these things.
All right, fair enough. That's why we have. That's why we all have opinions and voices.
Right.
All right. Anyway, that's our mailbag.
Yes.
By the way, record for us. What a record mailbag session that was. Fantastic. Keep them coming in. We love it. And keep bashing us. We have no problems with that either.
Yeah. And I apologize to Gabrielle. You never said she wasn't funny. I heard she's hysterical.
Thank you.
She's very
funny. And she's 22.
All right. Good deal. All right. So actually, I'm going to use my topic just to cover a couple of things just so we don't go super long because we've already going longer.
Yeah,
so,
the mailbag.
I'll save my topic for later, but I want to update on a couple of things. First of all, Josh is becoming the Sting, the Beyonce, the who else is left? Is Garfunkel and I guess that doesn't
really matter. Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Who did he leave?
Dean Martin. Didn't you ever think with like Dean Martin?
Yeah, but Dean Martin did fine by himself. He was all right. That was kind of a mutual thing.
Well, hello, Josh. Dave and I are fine by ourselves, actually, too.
Right.
I'm not so sure.
That's sort of sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what I'm getting at is Josh went on another podcast.
I did indeed.
And do you want to tell us about your experience?
Yes, it was very nice.
Hey, Dave, this is a great thing to bring up. So I'm happy you did because I think that like, you know, our listeners probably know this. We've encouraged Josh to look for other menage d'artois, if you will.
Right. Because you can't cage a wild animal like Josh, right?
And
we need to let him free.
And Dave and I have said, you know, you don't need to go. We're good. You know, for a variety of reasons. And, you know, and having said that, little do we know. I mean, it's a natural outcome. Josh is going to be basically spending time with other people. And I'm really curious if he ever makes some second guess starting this with us. Because in some ways, Josh is kind of locked into this. So, but David, I'll let you, please, why don't you go with your questions and I can sign in.
Well, I think he just wants me to say what happened there.
When?
Okay. Yeah. So just so everyone, if tune in. It's a great podcast called Vent This with Chris and Paul. Chris is, by the way, is an Emmy-winning director, TV director, and Paul's a great stand-up comic. And they basically have a podcast that's very similar to ours, where they vent about things that are frustrating to them. And they have people who write and call in with their own vents, and they want their opinion on those vents. So it's kind of similar to what we do here with FDS. But I was invited to come on. I got to do my own vent. I vented about American cheese, which Dave and Omar have heard me talk about many times, and had an ally in Paul. He agreed with me 100%. So it's episode 73 called Vent This. Great podcast. Check it out. And they're on all the majors too. So it was a lot of fun.
You were stating how jealous you were that their production value is quite high, which is now, you know, criticizing yourself since you are our production team. But
right, buddy. Yes, true. But you can only do so much when your co-hosts don't come with the proper equipment.
Yeah. Well, that Omar, I do feel challenged. Although part of my issue is I was in my home studio all week. And you guys weren't available when I was, you know, at my equipment. So I was available.
And look, you guys travel quite a bit, a little more than me. And so I understand it's always difficult to get the three of us together. But to say that they have a sound guy and I'm the sound guy here is kind of like I'm the making me the coach. And then you guys show up to the game in Crocs. There's only so many plays I could run with you guys in Crocs.
What is the sound person doing? Are they dropping like,
Yeah, he's
he holds and stuff.
It was amazing. It was he was on the screen. I even asked him, like, who the hell's that dude? Like, oh, he's our sound guy. He's not. He won't be on the show. But he holds up cards. He gives tells us about certain things, like what we said, or he holds up like.
Wait, I need some more details.
Like, written cards. What? He writes on the card and holds it up to the camera, and then he does these edits. And
is he like Benji? Is he giving you jokes? Like,
what, no, he's not. No, he's not doing that. He's literally production quality. Production quality.
So who is he on Stern?
Huh?
Who is he on the Stern show? Like, what character?
I don't know. Fred.
He's Fred.
He drops stuff too. He'll drop.
He does drop.
He does drop, but he does it after. So you don't hear it while you're doing it. It's after.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's great. Huh. Yeah. Nice guy. Anyway.
Wow.
And by the way, he produced a music album from an 80s group that went gold. So they have a nice little thing going on.
I've been thinking of, you said it was a one-hit.
It's not
wonder,
a Flock of Seagulls. I can't remember who it was. It's a band I knew too. Killed me. I can't remember.
That Dixie anyway, Runner group.
It's not Dixie's Midnight Runners. No.
Okay. Yeah. How many one-hit wonders from the '80s can you think of, Omar? That's I came up with two.
Right, Flock of Seagulls.
Well, they had a couple hits. Yeah, but Dave just said it. You just repeat. Oh, wait, Justin is dead on with you not listening.
I did not disagree with Justin, but I was thinking about 80s bands when he said that. Toto?
No, Toto's not a one hit.
That's not a one hit.
Toto's prolific. Toto's prolific.
Corey Hart.
There you go. Corey Hart, Thompson Twins. Sunglasses at night. Yeah, good job. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to, Omar, are you okay giving us an update on your health situation?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, boy.
I feel like we should bring it down, Dave. Well,
okay.
I think it's important. We if people care about us, if they're listening, I think this is good news. So, Omar.
That's true.
I think that's a bit of a stretch, what you just said. But, I was telling Josh earlier. Yeah, so, I mean, look. We're very lucky, all of us, because we know doctors, right? Personally, right? And so the doctor I saw in New York was fantastic. And he suggested that I do, have an elective surgery by the end of the year.
Now, let's remind people, you had the pre-novo full body scan.
And then I went in for an actual MRI.
Yep. And they found something in your brain.
Yes. And it's, it's meningioma, which, you know, coincidentally, I dated someone with that name in high school.
Did you?
In Baltimore City. So.
And you dumped her, and that's what we call karma.
Yes. It is. She told me I would never get rid of her. So
that's correct.
But yeah, so anyway, he's at Hopkins.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law. So he knows the head of the group, literally.
Yeah.
And he showed him the MRI, and the guy's like, he doesn't need to do anything. He's fine.
Wow.
I'm going to start seeing him. But yeah, so I'm kind of, it's actually the best of both worlds, but
it
explains my behavior, including my lack of active listening, right?
Is this what's going to happen now? You're just going to blame everything on the brain tumor?
When Josh said to me, so what are you going to do now? And I what did I say to you? I said, I'm going to start using it on dates.
Yes, you did say that.
Brilliant thing. I have a brain tumor. Oh my God, you're so strong. You're just like living your life. I'm like, yeah, I am. You know, every day is precious.
And you're not lying.
Thing. And
you're
I'm not
lying.
Lying.
You're not lying.
You know, it's kind of fucking great.
Yeah, it's not bad. Great. Yeah.
How do you beat that? It's like John Lovitz and his cancer and Seinfeld.
You were given a gift, my friend. You were given
a gift.
You were given a gift.
Even right now, this was not planned. David actually, you know, my listeners or our listeners should know. David and I have known each other for 20 years. He has never once asked me about myself or how I'm doing ever. And he just did it live. Wasn't even planned.
He did it
because of the brain tumor.
He's done it 87 times on this show.
I can prove it.
Yes.
I can prove it. It's a video.
And we have it on record. We have it on record.
You said my listeners. What the fuck?
Yes, you
is
did.
That?
Your listeners. Okay, Beyonce. Yeah.
That's
you can't
terrible.
Have two Beyoncés on the team. So that's good news. I don't know if I have an update other than I feel like I've got my Dorito commercials ready to go. I'll write those up. And I'll send them in.
I'll send them in.
So by the time we talk next, I'll get them in. So it's good to get an update once in a while.
Can I add something to that, actually? Because this came up today. I went to the pet store to get some stuff for Miles. I got my hair cut today by a new person, by the way.
It's at the pet store?
Next door at some like salon by some
that makes more sense.
Lovely woman who's from like, you know, like Turkey, the blue hair. And I said to her, please cut it like I had it, like as if I had it how it looked 4 weeks earlier. I didn't want her to cut it too deep as I didn't want to risk it, so to speak. And she did a great job, wonderful. Went next door to the pet store. That's why strip balls are so great.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when I'm there, I see these toys, and one of them was a giant Dorito for doggies.
Oh. And,
you know, like a giant Dorito, like you hear that crackling sound when you bit on it.
Yeah.
And so I think a good angle would be to incorporate dogs into it, you know, and where dogs are playing with these Dorito types of things, and it somehow spawns into a commercial, which I haven't thought about yet.
It's a great idea because nothing says appetizing snack more than something that's been in a dog's mouth.
The dog cannot
Great call.
Like,
the dog cannot eat it. And regurgitate it back into your mouth as a human.
No, but what happens is that the dog can never let go of this Dorito toy. And it's like, it goes on for, and they can't understand why all these toys he always loves. This one, he can't let go of this one. And finally something happens and they realize why. And it opens up the world to Doritos.
Okay, so dogs love Doritos is basically what that one.
Yeah,
I don't know if the people at Doritos are going to like that.
How about the dog eats a Dorito?
What are we doing here with this? Go ahead.
Am I on? I'm a delayed. How about the dog eats the Dorito?
No, you're on.
The dog eats the Dorito, throws up, eats it again, and the tagline is Doritos is so good you eat it twice. How about that?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I like that.
It's fantastic.
I like that.
It's great. It's really good. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if it's going to sell to humans, but
my delay might be bad. So I'm just going to throw it to you, Josh. Talk about your topic this week.
All right. All right. Here's my topic. I'm going to hit this pretty quickly here. We talked about it was a topic I had a little while ago about the tipping, the aggravation of now every time you buy something, they turn the screen over and they want you to hit a tip no matter what it is. Right. And we exhausted this. Right. So there's a new thing I've discovered, by the way, that's akin to this. And I don't know if you guys are getting this too, but so I ordered toner from Staples, you know, toner for my printer from Staples, had it delivered. Then I get an email from Staples after my toner was delivered asking me to rate my delivery experience.
Yes, I hate it.
Of getting my toner, right? It's beyond stupid. First of all, I had no experience. Some guy brought my toner to the door and put it at the door. And then I opened the door and I got my toner and I put it in my printer. That was my experience. I've been going to a chiropractor for a little while. After every visit, I get a text asking to rate the experience. Now, I don't know how many times I have to rate an experience that I've had dozens and dozens of times. Amtrak, I don't know if you guys take Amtrak at all, but I take Amtrak quite a bit. I got an email from them after riding on Amtrak of the trains. How was your boarding experience? They want me to rate my boarding experience. American Airlines now, every flight I take wants feedback on every flight. How was the flight? This has gone too far, and it's akin to the tipping. I don't know if you guys are noticing this, but you have to now rate everything you do. They want a score.
Can I rate this podcast?
After it's over, we're going to send you a text asking you to rate this podcast.
No, it is a really good point. It's a really interesting point.
It's crazy.
You know how construction workers whistle at a woman?
Yes. When I'm familiar.
Across the street, or like if a woman's walking the sidewalk, they go, "Hey, mommy," that stuff, right?
Yeah. Is that more stereotypical or does that actually happen? Is that happening?
It happens.
Okay. All right.
I don't think they're supposed to do that anymore, by the way.
My point is it still happens. And so it must work some of the time, right?
It's a numbers game.
These emails or these texts that we get incessantly, and I completely agree with you.
Yes.
They must get like a 1% hit rate, but it alienates your customers. Are they not aware of this?
That's the problem. It's annoying. It's annoying to get them. And look, I know I can just hit delete, but it's ridiculous. And
you're right.
It's overkill. And by the way, what you're going to get, you're not even going to get a good feedback because you're going to get people who are angry and they're going
to
now
do it.
Yeah, they're going to now just like I used to get.
But that's the feedback that is the feedback that you want. You don't want to hear what's going well. You want to go, what can get better?
So well, you know what can get better is you
make some sense.
You can stop sending me emails about feedback. That's my feedback for
that
you.
That should be one of the options.
That should be one of the options. Exactly. Dave, are you getting these? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you even do them?
No.
Because I don't
them.
Do them. I just delete them.
I delete them right away because they're too many. Disney World.
I hate it on my Uber app.
Yeah, it's too much. If I go to Disney World, it's a big, you know, event, then maybe I'll rate that. But every single dentist appointment, every single oil change,
it's
way too much. You're right on with this topic. It needs to stop. Mm.
It's got to stop. It's crazy. And I don't know.
Wait. It's hot. How do we stop it?
Well, I don't know how you stop it because it's just like the tipping thing. The tipping thing has gotten out of hand. And now I've come to the point where I've stopped the tipping on things that are just so outrageous because it's so easy to hit the button like, okay, whatever, 20%. And
wait,
I just hit it. Yeah.
I think I have a solution. It's
Go
not
ahead.
Perfect. But, you know, there's got to be a way. American Airlines versus your chiropractor are two different size organizations, right?
But if you let them know,
hey, listen, knock it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I could tell my chiropractor, hey, listen, you got to stop doing that. I mean, look, I've been here a thousand times. I rated it great the first time. I don't
Ask
need to rate it great every single time.
I'd be curious to see what kind of – do you have a – Josh is a talker, and actually this is kind of my topic. Josh,
it is?
You talk to everybody. Like I'm sure you and your chiropractor have a great relationship with each other, and you talk to him. Is that not true?
It's true, but I did because he's very difficult to break up with. He's very difficult because you're never done. It's like you're never done. It's like
yeah,
I
so
feel
my
like
point
I'm
is ask
done.
Him,
yeah.
Ask him yeah. about this. Like – why if he how long he's been well you know how long he's been using the rating system, obviously you've been there for a while,
yeah,
but ask him like what kind of utility he gets from it. If he's thought about the fact that it could alienate some of his customers, how you'll never leave him, would you prefer to see it again? Sure, but it doesn't really
it's really more look, I mean, these are things you're using. Like if I'm going to take a train to New York, I have to take Amtrak. I really don't have a choice. So yeah. it's like one of those things that I have to just put up with.
But the chiropractor could probably turn his off manually. Amtrak.
I'm sure he can. There's no opt out, by the way. Unlike promotional emails where you can opt out or unsubscribe, you can't do it with these. Yeah. There is no opt out. You are getting these.
What if American Airlines said to you that if you give them like 25 feedbacks, right, that you get 100,000 miles?
I would do that.
Would you be more apt to do it?
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
you just cracked the code, my friend. You did. They have to incentivize us to provide the feedback. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great call. Great call.
Isn't this whole thing a result of they want to get – it's a Google rating system. Like they need the feedback because it's a social media related game, right? Isn't this where this is all coming
from? But that's different.
That's different.
So I was actually going to bring that up because I also have a – HVAC person that comes out, and when they do it, they want
What the fuck is that?
You know, heating and air conditioning.
Is that the YMCA?
You don't know HVAC? You never heard of HVAC?
Oh,
yeah. You're
Dave. You know what that means?
Yes, he
yes,
knows
I
what
do.
That means.
What are you, Donald Trump, saying groceries wrong?
Yeah, that's what you are.
Wait,
you're like.
Wait a second.
I think they call them groceries.
For? Is it an acronym?
Yes.
Yes.
It's heating and venting air conditioning.
Okay.
Dude, you can't be serious.
Okay,
you own two homes.
I don't deal with that stuff. Amari deals with that stuff. I don't know.
Okay, you have first world problems, my friend. Look, here's the deal.
HVAC.
Yeah, so someone who comes out to
HVAC.
Yes.
You couldn't pick up on that from HVAC?
I know what that is. I've never even called HVAC before. It sounds ridiculous.
All right, HVAC. They want me to, every time they come, they want me to rate them on Google.
Right.
About the, and they want me to, they always want me, whoever's doing the service, they say, and talk about how good I am, Larry. Tell them how great Larry was. I'm like, and you feel like bad. I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And I say I'll do it, and I rarely do it. I do it every once in a while if I'm like, okay, I'll just do it real quick. But if I got something else to do, I'll never come back to it. It's not going to happen. But that happens all the
time,
too.
And that's a little different. Yeah.
That's different. And that happens all the time, too.
Yep.
It's all gotta stop.
It's tough. Yeah. Anyway.
Just do a good job and I'll hire you again I'll be back. That's my rating system.
I'll keep using your service. And by the way, we have things called Yelp and all the, so, and by the way, the people who write on that, they write on that when they're pissed off. No one ever has a fine experience. It goes, hey, it was pretty good. No one ever writes it was good. It's either it was a 1 or it's a 5. That's it. No one ever writes in between, because in between is not worth picking up the pen for. Metaphor, I meant to, you know, the keyboard turning on the laptop.
Well,
anyway, that's my topic. It's got to stop. It's too much. It's overkill. And now it's become as ubiquitous as this stupid tipping thing.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to go on the other podcast and vent about this?
No, I'm not going to double up on material. Never. Never. Okay. No. When I leave you guys permanently, then I'll be able to use it because I own this. I own this.
I feel like we're your testing ground for your material for other podcasts. No.
That's right. Exactly.
That's what we are.
This is where I practice my routine and see what kind of response I get. And then I take it on the road after that.
We're your Tuesday night and they're your Saturday.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right, Omar. Anyway, what's your topic?
Take us home.
Topics.
Take us home, Omar.
So I alluded to this a minute ago with Josh and talking to his chiropractor. So I was thinking about this because, like, when I'm in Puerto Rico, and I'm like, I've lived in the same building now for, you know, pretty much 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't talk to my doorman at all. Very rare.
Oh, you should.
And when I'm walking miles and Lou, I don't really want to talk to anybody when I'm walking them.
Okay.
When someone comes up with their dog and or whatever, I'm not really interested in talking to them.
Yeah.
And it made me realize I'm like this quite often. I've always thought, am I a hypocrite? Am I a fraud, et cetera. Anyway, so of course, what did I do is I talked to Chatty, which is my girlfriend, ChatGPT.
Oh, right.
And I asked her, like, I gave her the whole context. And it was a really interesting response. Now, before I go into it, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, do you think that is a little bit hypocritical? Because obviously I'm not shy and, you know.
I have a lot of responses. My first is, I find it very disturbing that you've assigned a gender to ChatGPT. That's the first thing.
David calls him him, for the record.
Beyond that. Yeah, you did, but that's because you hear it back in a male's voice.
It was a man's voice. Correct.
Right?
You're right. Yep.
See?
Yep.
There you go. That's why. Okay. So Omar, I don't find it that hypocritical, but I'm going to say one thing. So first of all, I do like to talk to other people, but it's selective. It's very selective. So if I lived in a building with a doorman, I would go out of my way to make sure I knew the doorman and had some good banter with him or her when I came and when I went. All right? That's the first thing, because the doorman is crucial to really your to.
I tip well.
I know you're a tipper. You speak with your wallet. I get it. So there's that. But if I'm in an Uber, I don't want to talk to the driver at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to the driver at all. If I'm on an airplane, I do not want to talk to the person next to me at all. All right. But so here's where you have a problem. Here's your problem. And I'm going to tell you your biggest problem. The biggest problem is you're doing an activity that just calls people to talk to you. And that's walking a dog. When you're walking a dog, people want to pet your dog. People want to ask you questions about your dog. Other people are walking the dog. They want their dog to sniff your dog's ass. And therefore, now they have to get to know you and talk to you. So the whole thing of walking the dog in public is just saying, screams, hey, everybody, talk to me. Talk to me about my dog. And I know you don't want to do that, but there might be a solution, and it's a solution I use with the airplane, and it's called AirPods. When you put in AirPods, you're telling the world, don't talk to me. I'm not listening to anything but what I want to listen to.
I have all my AirPods, for the record.
Yeah, but they're still, it's tough with the dog. You're walking a dog, they're still going to talk to you.
Yeah, it screams that, huh? So, Dave. Okay, so that's your thought. And those are your thoughts, Josh. Dave,
are my thoughts. So there's a category of people that I want to talk to: doormen, blackjack dealers. Uh-huh. I want to talk to these people, and a whole category of people I want no part of: airplane seat people, and Uber drivers.
What are your thoughts?
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, I think what you differentiated, although the blackjack dealer was a wild card in there, is you differentiated between people that you see in a repeated sense, that you see them time and again, or you have a relationship with, and then there are people
Good
that are
call.
random people that you will never see again. You don't want to
That's
talk to the
right.
people that you'll randomly never see again, but you should be talking to the people that you interact with. So I would definitely with the
Except the
doorman or
blackjack
door.
dealer. Except the
That's
blackjack dealer.
black
That's an
people.
interesting one.
What'd you
No,
do?
blackjack dealer. I love to talk to blackjack dealers.
Oh, okay, got it. Oh,
Yes.
yes, I've been next to you
Yes,
in
you
the
have.
workout.
You've been next to me playing cards. Anyway, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
That's the exception that proves the rule, I'll say.
Yes.
But I think the doorman or doorwoman, you need to be having conversations with that person. You need that person in your life to treat you well. So I think I would find a way to have something to
Agree.
talk about. Like if you have a sports thing, you can just kind of ch chit chat about
So I
that.
guess you guys are addressing it from a slightly different. I'm speaking about it because when I'm on Zoom calls and in conversations with people, if you guys have seen ancillary and heard about, I'm fairly very animated and
Absolutely.
constantly trying to make people laugh and succeeding very at least to make myself laugh often, right? And so like and that when I'm meeting other people, I don't. So I asked Chatty this, because I walked comparing those two, and it said this is actually a really fascinating self-observation, superhuman. It's they calls it it's a classic example of selective social bandwidth.
Interesting.
You spend your day investing energy into high leverage relationships, work calls, dinners, meetings, where your wit, insight, and engagement are tools to build something you're on in the performance sense, and that's not fake. It's just a form of intentionality. Now with the now let's contrast with that with the doorman dynamic. You're not cold or rude, just economical. There's no ROI tied to that interaction emotionally,
But
professionally,
there
or
is.
socially.
But there is. That's what it's missing. I think it's wrong
Listen,
there. There is
but
ROI
also,
there.
yeah, it's that I'm protecting my energy in environments where I don't need to feel the need. Social fatigue and professional hyper engagement, contextual persona switching. And also, like, I feel like I need to engage with people and I'm out of energy when that happens.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And by the
You don't
way,
do a quick conversation, do you? It's exhausting to constantly have
it's
deep
exhausting.
conversation. I was in a hotel the other day, and tell me this is a bad, I think this is completely appropriate.
Yeah.
And when an elderly couple gets on the elevator in Nashville, they're all dressed up going to dinner. And I'm like, I'm about to go to dinner, just myself in the elevator. And I go, are you guys having dinner downstairs? Like, yes. I'm like, oh, it's fantastic. I'm like, one tip. I go, don't spend too much time on the food's great, but leave room for the desserts. They're fantastic. And then I'm like, and the pizza there's really good. And the woman, this wonderful elderly
Can I
lady,
guess? Did she then put in AirPods?
no. She says to me as we're walking off the elevator, she goes, and how she goes, and how do you, with all this food you eat, how do you stay so thin? I go, I'm bulimic.
What did you say to
She goes, oh my
that?
goodness. I'm like,
That's
I'm
funny.
kidding. I'm kidding. Did
That's
not go over
funny.
well with her and her husband, but I thought it was funny.
She probably knew someone who was bulimic and that was causing her some pain. But I will say this, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it, Dave will know what I'm talking about here. There was a hotel that I stayed in every time I went to St. Louis. Remember our old office? And I stayed in the same hotel every time. And they knew me because I was there all the time.
You complained all the time.
Yes,
Yep,
I
you have
did.
pictures.
And the bellboy, bellman, this guy named Tim, nicest guy. And I got to know him pretty well. And every time I'd show up, he'd be like, "Hey, Josh, how you doing? Blah blah blah." And he always talked to me about the Sixers and blah blah blah, and because he knew I was from Philadelphia and he followed the NBA. And it was so nice. It was just really wonderful. It felt like, okay, this is great. It felt inviting, right? But here's the snag. It got to a point where then it became too much. And by the end of my stays at this place, he was showing me pictures of his kids and talking about how their life. And then he started to tell me about problems he was having at home. And I'm like, oh my God, this crossed the Rubicon. Like, as long as it's surface level with the doorman, do you know what I mean? Where it's like, hey, great game last night. Yeah, great game. See you later. Any gay packages? Nope. Great. Thanks. As long as it's surface level, hunky dory. Soon as you cross that bridge and where they start telling you about their problems, game off. I don't want any part of it anymore. But then
He
it's too
wanted a
late.
friend.
It's too
He
late.
wanted a friend.
Yeah, but I don't live there, and he knows that. So it's not like we're gonna hang out. So maybe that was next.
If you did, wait. Does anyone? So, Josh, what is the background of crossing the Rubicon? Do you know what that even is?
What, the phrase?
Yes. Where did it come from?
No, tell me.
David, do you know?
No, I
That's
don't.
A no.
I don't
he
say
does not know. He does not.
I feel like I should. I feel like it's the ancient history of some emperor or what something,
it,
right?
It's got to be something like that. What is it, Omar?
You guys can't just throw out these aphorisms and not know the
sure
background.
Sure, we can.
Yes, you can. Of course, you can. You can throw them out all the time. That's because they're part of our everyday
crossing
vernacular.
The Rubicon is an actual. It's like BC, not way back with Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire.
Okay.
He was ordered to like come home and disband the Roman army, and instead, the Rubicon was actually a river. Right. And he basically didn't listen to whatever. He crossed the river and continued to fight. And it was the beginning of the fall of the Roman Empire. When Caesar crossed the river.
I said emperor.
Okay.
So that was
never go back.
You did. You were very close, Dave. You're very close.
Yeah, David, I know you, David, and the audience probably gets this as well. David watched the movie Gladiator like 100 times. So that's what he's referring to.
Great movie.
When he talks about anything involving
okay, well, there you go. But you can say phrases. You can say phrases without knowing the origin. That's crazy.
Well, I think that our listeners are probably some of the highest sort of IQ.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
And erudite, right? Versus like The Vent or other podcasts. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. Clearly someone's a little jealous. So we should always try and endeavor to educate our listeners while we also are, dare I say, striving to entertain them.
Fair enough.
Good job.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Good job.
Very good. Yeah. All right. So there you go.
I'd say
get to know your doorman. Get to know your doorman.
Yeah. Work your small talk muscle. I think you've got a deep talk and you've got to ignore. You got to have a middle ground. Nice. I need to work on that a little bit.
Man.
What you need to do is do a Larry David. You need to wear if you're walking your dog, put on a red hat.
If I remember when you did that. The MAGA hat.
And then no one's going to talk to you.
In Puerto Rico, it wouldn't matter.
But, yeah, it wouldn't matter.
If I'm a doorman, I would much rather get a big bonus from a resident.
Of course.
Than to have small talk.
But it's not an either or. It's not an either or.
Yeah.
Maybe the other side of the or only exists because I'm able to conserve my energy.
Do you remember in Seinfeld when Larry Miller played the doorman and Jerry was going to Mr. Pitt? And he was like, oh, you don't want to talk to the doorman? I'm just the average doorman. I'm not here. I'm not a human. I'm not a person. And, you know, he guilted Jerry into the whole thing.
Fantastic.
They're standing there holding a door and packages, and they don't have a colleague to talk to most of the time.
But there's other people in the building who provide that value, and they don't pipe. They don't probably tip.
They're not he's not asking you to sit there and give a soliloquy on what you did last week. He just wants to say hi.
I say buenos dias.
Do you know his name?
I don't know any other names.
Yeah, it's a problem. Oh, you got to know the name. Know the name. It just adds another level. Just saying hi and thank you and goodbye. But if you know the name,
man.
It's another level.
Give it a try.
Then you go down the route. I tell you, David, you can go down the route where they want to help me. They have problems at home. That's what you don't want.
You don't want it to escalate. Yeah, it's tough. It's a balancing act. But the key is never stop your feet from moving. So it's a walk by conversation. Because as soon as you stop, like the problem I had with the bell guy in that hotel was I was checking in. So he would come over and talk to me while I'm standing still and checking in. And I'm a trapped audience.
Yeah.
But if I'm walking and I don't stop, hey, how you do? That's it. It's not my fault. I'm on my way.
You know, I remember way back when I didn't drink, and maybe those days come back at some point. But I would go out with like a thermos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was brilliant because I would never have to wait for a drink in a bar. I just drink out of the thermos. It was like water or like whatever.
Yeah.
And my point is, I realized that sometimes people thought I was sick. And so, and I'm like, wait a second. So when I would see people who I did not want to talk to, I point to the thermos and go,
You got to have some of those.
I'm saying,
I got another one for you. If I'm walking and someone looks like they want to talk to me, I pretend like I'm about to sneeze. And I'm like, you know, I give them the, like, you know, the handoff. I'm like, yeah, good to see you. And they don't want to interrupt you while you're sneezing. And you just
That's true. No one, that's true. And no one wants to catch that sneeze either.
Oh, interesting.
Here, here's what you need to do. When you walk your dog, I want you to get a shirt that says, don't ask me about my damn dog. And you wear that shirt while you're walking the dog. And people will think you're an asshole. And people won't talk to you. People won't talk to you. Or maybe there would be some people who want that challenge. Yeah, never mind. That's a bad idea. Yeah. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a challenge.
You get the worst of the worst if you do that.
You'll get it. Why can't I talk to you about your dog? That's what you'd get.
By the way, just one quick thing, because you made me think about that. Miles is so he's so needy with strangers, you know?
Yeah.
And so he almost – so I realized something. I wanted to create a product line around him, so I created a cologne. That's a bottle of him, and it's called Forced Intimacy. And because he forces intimacy. And then I created a lotion, hand lotion. That's Miles's, it looks like him exactly, with a ball in his mouth. And it's called Uninvited Touch.
That's funny. That's very clever. It's funny.
Now, if you put that on Instagram, Josh, you're going to have to make sure the context, it's his dog we're talking
about.
I will.
You can't. The dog
prep it
is
properly.
The packaging.
I
he
get
is
it.
Packaging.
Yeah, I get it.
First I'll send it to Josh. You'll
That's
like it.
Good stuff.
It's good.
All right, let's wrap this up, boys. I'm sorry. I hope the audio and the video and all the quality here is good. We are the number one podcast in the world, so we need to make sure that we have the operations to support that. Again, if you'd like to reach out to us, we're at friends@fts.media. Three people this week prove that it does work.
Let's make it four next week.
Let's keep going. Let's keep rolling. Or vote and give us all the stars on whatever, Spotify, Apple. Podcasts, feel free to do that. We're on friendstalkingshop.weebly.com as our website. And check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, Friends Talking Shop, on there too. Until next time, see you later, everybody.
See ya.
See you later.